Welcome to the Soldier for Life podcast, where we share information and resources for our military and veteran families, from employment and education to health and wellness and Army retirement. We're here to help you learn more about programs and resources that are available to our Army family. The information shared in this podcast does not constitute an endorsement by Soldier for Life, United States Army, or the Department of Defense. And now, let's get started with this week's episode. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for being with us today. I am Colonel Jarrett Thomas, Soldier for Life's director and host for the Soldier for Life podcast. As you all know, high school graduation season is coming up, and I'm really excited about our show today because we are talking about an organization whose purpose is to thank, honor, and support the many graduating high school seniors who will be enlisting in the U.S. military immediately after their graduation. The organization is called Our Community Salutes, and we have with us today its founder and president and Army veteran, Dr. Ken Hartman. Ken, thanks for being with us on the show today.
Colonel, it is an honor to be with you and to support Soldier for Life, which is such a great program, and it's been a great partnership over the years.
In case you all don't know, Ken was first on the podcast back in 2020, not long after COVID began, talking about Our Community Salutes and how it was continuing to virtually support and honor our future service members and their families. Fast forward to 2024, and in person, Our Community Salutes events are back in full force. So we wanted to take the opportunity to have Our Community Salutes back on the show to talk more about how Our Community Salutes is providing support to our future soldiers now that these events are back in person. First question, Ken. So just to get started, can you tell our listeners a little bit about Our Community Salutes and how it came about?
Sure. So it started 16 years ago when, in a moment of weakness, I agreed to serve in our local school board. What a nightmare that was. But what I discovered at the time was that we were doing nothing. This is back in 2009. We were doing nothing to honor the kids who were graduating from our high schools and who were enlisting in the military. As you mentioned before, I'm an old soldier myself. I was an officer, ROTC, a million years ago. And the kids who were doing ROTC, they were getting recognized. And certainly the kids going off the academies, West Point, Annapolis, et cetera, their moms and dads were made to feel special. And they got all sorts of support from the academies. But for the kids who were enlisting in 2009, many of whom were going off to war, there was nothing. So I decided I needed to do something about that, organized a dinner for all the kids in our county and their moms and dads, brought the veterans together. I think I found a retired one-star to speak at it. I didn't know who was going to come. I didn't know where I was going to have it. I didn't know anybody's, how I was going to pay for it, but it all came off, and it was an amazing event. Army did a story about 4 months later, and I got a call from a woman in Pittsburgh saying, hey, I heard what you did in South Jersey. Can you help me do that in Pittsburgh? I'm like, well, sure. I got the website. I got the name. We'll call you Our Community Salute to Pittsburgh. And so in year two, 2010, we had two locations. And then what's happened over the last 16 years is the word has gotten out. And we've grown from two locations to 10 locations to 30 locations to 50 locations to 60 locations, 70 locations all over the country, including Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. We've honored over 250,000 high school seniors who are enlisting right out of high school, active duty, Guard and Reserve as well. And what we have found, and what the military and why this everybody from the Secretary of the Army and Navy and everybody on down are involved with OCS, is that the kids who do come to our ceremony, nearly 100% of them actually get on the bus. And these days, as you know, we can't afford to lose a single kid who's expressed interest because they've heard a friend say something disparaging about serving, or they watched a Wounded Warrior commercial, or whatever it is that makes them back out the last minute, because these are our future leaders. And so that's the kind of history. And as we grow our locations based in large part on where each of the military services have told us they need help in that area.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, who attends. How can high school seniors and their parents attend? And is there a cost to attend?
Great questions. There is no cost. We don't charge anybody, whether you're a senior or a veteran or an active duty service member. The route is pretty simple. We work directly with the recruiters from all the services. The one condition you have to have in order to attend the ceremony is you must have already signed a contract. Mm-hmm. So in essence, it's similar to what D1 athletes have. They have their signing day. Well, this is a signing day for the young people who are signing up to serve our country. So the best way to get involved is to talk to your recruiter, ask them if there's a, well, first thing to do is go to our website at ocsusa.org, ocsusa.org, see if there's a ceremony near you. And if there is, we've got close to 50 of them across the country this spring. Then talk to your recruiter, have the enlistee, the senior, talk to their recruiter and find out how they can attend the event. They're starting in a few weeks, believe it or not. We have two that start in Arkansas in just a few weeks. So now's the time to go online and then you can sign up for them online.
No, that sounds great. And I think people enjoy when you recognize not only their service, you know, when they're in, but prior to them getting in. I think that's a pretty big deal, you know, for our soldiers.
It is, you know, and there's so many things that happen at these events that do not happen anywhere else. So, for example, we'll do a mock swearing-in ceremony. As I said before, you already have to have signed your contract. Take the oath. Right. As you know, a lot of these kids, they'll take that oath at MEPS. They'll take that oath in a cubicle next to a recruiter. And the moms and dads and the uncles and the grandma have never seen that. So at our ceremony, there's always a time where we ask the kids to stand, raise their right hand, to retake their oath of enlistment. We actually ask the veterans in the audience if they'd like and they're able to stand and also to take their commitment. Now, the whole idea here, Colonel, is to try and bring the community together to understand and reconnect them with their nation's military. Because as everybody knows right now, there is that divide. I don't know when it started. It started a long time ago. It's not going to be fixed overnight. But young people today do not understand, I believe, what the military has to offer. Parents don't understand that 75% of kids who enlist in the military are only going to serve for 4 years, which right. is why Soldier for Life is so important, obviously. But we're trying to bring the recruiters and the educators and the parents and the veterans together, community by community, to get people to once again understand that serving your country is a noble and rewarding goal.
No, great point. I've got personal experience. I worked in a MEPS many, many years ago and had the opportunity to enlist numerous applicants to become soldiers. And I witnessed the emotion and the pride that those individuals have. So, you know, for you to at least have another swear-in ceremony so that, you know, the community also can see that emotion. I think that's a really, really important event.
And when you see a Vietnam vet or a Korean War vet or even a World War II vet get up and raise their hand and retake, again, it's only symbolic, right? But when a parent of an 18-year-old sees a veteran stand up and retake that oath, they automatically are saying, my goodness, this is much bigger than I thought my son or daughter was engaged with. And that's what we want to show at these events.
Yeah, you know, great point, because I think that some of the families don't know enough about the military. So this may be their first person that they are either related to or know that has joined the military. So for them to see that as well, that brings pride, I think, to their family as well. So, no, great, great point.
And one other thing to show them, the ethos of the military. In many of our ceremonies, we have a little contest. We will play the service song for each of the services. And the goal is to see which service can sing that the loudest. And again, we put the words up on the screen so they don't have to know the words. But for a parent to see a perfect stranger who was sitting next to them, who's a veteran, stand up without being ordered to do so and start singing that service song, again, their eyes just open up to this whole world. Like, who told this guy to just stand up? Man, that's part of the family that your son or daughter is joining right now. It's amazing to watch.
Absolutely.
That.
Could you specifically talk about the events, more so, you know, size of events, how sometimes they differ, you know, across the board?
Sure. Most of them are about 3 hours in length, and the venues will vary significantly. It could be in a high school auditorium. It could be on the deck of an aircraft carrier. It could be in a big ballroom. The size will vary from, you know, 50 people to 900 people. We had 10,000 people at a ceremony we did in Jacksonville, Florida many years ago. You can see that picture on our website. Dierks Bentley actually played at that event way back when. So, you know, we call it My Community Salutes for a reason. It's your community. So to me, the venue isn't as important as the run of show. And in some cases, it's a sit-down dinner. In some cases, it's cookies and coffee afterwards. But the most important thing that everybody has in common is that run a show. It's that bringing that community together. It's the elements within that, you know, 2 or 3 hour period that makes that experience unique and powerful with significant short and long-term impacts.
And the good thing is, regardless of size, I think the message is still the same, recognizing those future service members, you know, prior to them coming in, and giving them that pride early is the important thing. You know, you get the vantage point when you see 10,000 people at an event, but it's not any more meaningful than an event where you had 75 individuals, because I think for the individual that's there, I think that's the important thing. And that's what they will remember
and
think about.
They're going to take home their first challenge coin. They're going to get a copy of our 96-page pocket guide to our founding documents that we entitle Why We Take the Oath. So it's all of that, you know, it's regardless of the size, the focus is on not necessarily what you're going to do, because you know what you're going to do. You're going to fix aircraft. You're going to be a computer programmer. It's why you're doing. Why is that decision? Why is that sacred oath that you've taken that so few have done before you? Why is that important? Mm-hmm. Is the other piece, regardless of the size or the type of venue you're at.
No, great point. Really appreciate that. Hey, so, you know, you talked a great deal about your organization. Really, what I would like to know, kind of the inner workings, you know, who organizes these events? How are local communities involved? And if you don't have one near you, how can you and your community get one scheduled?
Great question. So they're organized by literally hundreds of volunteers across the country that work with us. We call them our community leaders. And there's rarely a week that goes by. And now as we get closer to the graduation season, there's rarely a day that goes by that someone's not calling us, coming to our website, which is the first place to go, and asking about it. Well, it's too late this year to start one. But for 2025, now's a good time to come to our website, fill out the inquiry form that we have. They're real simple, and we'll get back to you on that. We have all the materials. We have, obviously, the connection with the recruiting commands across the services, which is key to this. And then we have kind of a blueprint, if you will, on how to organize and how to conduct the event in your community. You know, some of them are very, very large, 800, 900 plus people. Right. And some of them are as small as 75 people. We have an event in St. Croix and an event in St. Thomas. There's not going to be more than 50 people there, but it doesn't matter, because if it wasn't for the volunteers in those communities, these young people would have not gotten that send-off that they rightfully deserve.
No, absolutely. And I know we talked at the very beginning, the last time you were on our podcast, it was during COVID, and you had a lot of virtual events. Are you still having those virtual events?
So we did America Salutes for 4 years, the last 4 years, where we got celebrities together and gave shout outs, senior military leaders together to shout outs. It's a lot of work, needless to say, and very rewarding. I mean, it's amazing. We have hundreds of videos from rock stars and astronauts that gave it to us. We decided this year to focus, take a year off America Salutes and focus more on a new project called OCS Connect. And OCS Connect is our virtual portal for parents of and guardians of new enlistees to help inform them and empower them to help their sons or daughters in the first 4 years. As I mentioned before, 75% of them are only going to spend 4 years in uniform. And unfortunately, in spite of a lot of great initiatives like Soldier for Life, many of them are ending up unemployed. So we've taken our time and our resources, and we're now building up OCS Connect, which will be a series of learning modules, free and available to everybody, on topics that parents of new enlistees have identified to us through surveys and interviews that they needed help with. So how do you help your son or daughter with their first paycheck? You know, what is a joint service transcript so that when they do get out, they're getting the academic credit they deserve towards college? And so we brought on board our team a mother, a rock star, who has 3 boys who enlisted in the Air Force, all 3 currently still serving. 2 out of 3 we honored at one of our ceremonies. And she is building the curriculum out as quickly as we possibly can to launch it in the spring.
That's awesome. And so, you know, I know you talked a little bit about this, but, you know, are there any other new or future projects that you're working on with our Community Salutes?
So our goal is to go, this year we'll have around 50 events across the country. We could easily do 100 events if we had the resources. So our goal this year is twofold. One, to raise greater awareness for OCS, and in turn, hopefully grow our resources. We are as grassroots an organization as you can possibly imagine. We do not want, nor do we ask for government money. I don't believe it's the government's role to thank these kids. It's the communities, it's the Boeings, it's the Lockheeds of the world. We have ceremonies, Colonel, where the parents will go around and pick up broken lawnmowers and vacuum cleaners, and then the husbands fix them up and they sell them at a lawn sale to pay for the ceremony. That's how grassroots it is. Wow. And I want to keep it that way. So assuming we get the resources over the next couple of years, our goal is to go from 50 to 100 locations across the country. And again, in locations that support military recruiting and our national defense. And we have ceremonies in places that are out in the middle of nowhere because communities came to us. We don't want to turn them down. For example, we have a new ceremony in Montana, Helena, Montana, which was started, by the way, by a retired Army colonel who was a brigade commander, recruiting brigade commander in her last assignment. She retired, moved out to Montana, and her and her husband are doing a small little ceremony this year. So we don't turn those down. We'll support those. But we want to go to the bigger cities and the locations that support our national defense.
I know we didn't talk about this, but, you know, I think one reason why the community piece is critically important is because, and you talked about it earlier, the expectation for a soldier that is enlisting is not that they do 20 or 30 years. Vast majority of those soldiers will do at least one enlistment, maybe two, but they're going back to their community. And so, and many of them will go back to the community that they came from because their ties there. Some will go to other local communities as well. So to have those communities understand, you know, what it means, you know, to enlist in our Army in defense for our nation, I think is a critical link for the community. And I think that would be, you know, something that they would want to participate in. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, here's the interesting thing and why organizations like Soldier for Life are so important. As we just said, 75% of the young men and women who enlist in the military are going to serve for 48 months. They fall outside of somewhat traditional community-based organizations like Blue Star Families, a great organization, but these kids aren't staying in long enough to have a family. They're getting out, you know, they're going through their transition assistance program, paying very little attention, quite frankly, to what's going on because they, you know, they look at themselves and they say, I'm invincible. I've got $10,000 in my bank account because I did one deployment. I can set the world on fire. And they get out and they realize, after your first and last month's rent payment, not much left, you know? So they end up going back and living in their parents' basement, which is not where we want them or where their parents want them either. So we're the only organization out there that has them initially, which is why we're building OCS Connect, because we want to be able to be more proactive. You can go to West Point, for example, and your son or daughter goes to West Point. You're automatically given a parent mentor.
Right.
Someone in your community that can help you understand what it's like in year one, year two, year three, year four, et cetera. But if you enlist, you're on your own, man. Maybe you met someone at an OCS ceremony, or maybe someone in your community. Maybe you've served, which is not of the vast majority of people whose kids go in. Maybe you serve and you understand, for example, from the what graduation is like from boot camp. But if you haven't served, you have no idea what you should be doing with your son or daughter or grandson in year one, two, three, and four. And so we're trying as quickly as we can to populate that with good content and interaction and even virtual meetings. We're doing those right now so that we can build up that network. We can build up that group so they can ultimately have peer mentoring among the adults in these young people's lives as well.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I know we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I know you do more than just, you know, organizing the ceremonies. Can you tell us a little more about some of the additional resources that you offer?
Yeah. So besides doing the ceremonies and besides building out these resources called like OCS Connect, we have other things that Americans and others can get involved with helping us to recognize and honor these kids. For example, we just launched our virtual thank you card, whereby anybody can go on to the website and leave, you know, a short little message to the class of 2024 high school enlistees so that they understand and they can see that America supports them. Our goal, quite frankly, is to get 250,000 Americans to sign that virtual thank you card by the 4th of July so that, again, we celebrate that decision they have. We give all sorts of gifts out to the kids, but I got to tell you, one of the gifts that we're looking to do if we find the funding is a Blue Star flag. Now, you know what a Blue Star flag is.
Right.
But most people, even the parents of kids who are going into the military, have no idea what a Blue Star family is, a Blue Star right. mom, a Blue Star dad.
Right.
And I'll show you one short little story about how powerful that was. A good friend of mine, son, enlisted in the Marine Corps, you know, that other service. And and I said to him, congratulations, you're now a Blue Star father. And he looked at me and he said, what the heck is a Blue Star father? So I explained to him, I said, you have a Blue Star flag. He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. So for the holidays, I bought him a Blue Star flag and he put it up in his window. And he said, a day didn't go by, and every time he walked the dog around the neighborhood, someone would stop and say, hey, what's with the Blue Star flag in your window? Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, my son's in the Marine Corps. He enlisted in the Marine Corps. And the neighbor would say, I never knew that. Is there something I can do? Can we send him some gifts? Where is he located? Or neighbors would come up to him and say, well, my nephew's thinking about being a Marine. Would your son mind talking to him? But back in the old days, that would be commonplace. That conversation, right?
Yep.
But that silly little flag that cost me $22 on Amazon to send to him spurred a conversation in his small community around service to country. So we're trying to find more ways to do things like that. They're not expensive, but yet will help rebuild the military connection to its communities.
Now, I think you're absolutely right. I think in the times that I deployed, my parents would definitely fly, the Blue Star flag and have those same conversations with neighbors until it got to a point where they understood what that meant. And just like you said, back in the day, you know, World War II, Vietnam, there were more individuals serving at that time, and it was more of a, because it was at that time, you know, prior to the all volunteer force, the community really understood what that meant. Since the 70s when we became an all volunteer force, unless you had that familiar, you know, and family connection to the military, it's hard to link, you know, what Absolutely. Those symbols mean. And so it's good that you did that, because then, like you said, it sparked that conversation within that community. And you don't know the impact of that. We may have received some future Marines or future Army soldiers or future Air Force airmen just because of those conversations that are necessary.
Well, it to use a very bad term, I guess, it smokes out the parents, right? Who are proud of their son or daughter's decision, but they don't, you know, they're not putting a, hey, my kid's going to Cornell sign on their front lawn because they don't have a sign, right? Which is another thing I'd love to do is put, you know, homo a future soldier, right?
Right.
Lawn signs. We do actually have some of our ceremonies. Our ceremony in South Carolina, we actually produce lawn signs and give out to the kids so they can put their lawn sign out there that, you know, future home of a future soldier. That they put out their class of 2024. But the other program that's been very, very popular over the years is an awards program that we give, that we work with recruiters on. We have two programs, one called the Colin Powell Award Program, where the recruiter can nominate a local high school guidance counselor who's gone above and beyond the call of duty.
Right.
Simple form, they fill out 500 or less words, and then they submit it to us, and then we'll bring those school counselors from the community who are often the gatekeepers for the recruiters to the ceremony, celebrate them, give them a nice plaque. We also have a STEM award where we allow the recruiters to nominate a science and math teacher, high school science and math teacher. And again, if I had a dollar for a recruiter that told me that it gave them an opportunity to get into a school that they have having problems with. And again, I would have to raise another dollar. And I hear all the time that, you know, those certificates, the framed certificates on a teacher's wall, kids will come up to the teacher and say, hey, what's with the STEM award? I was nominated by the Army and for educating young people about, you know, STEM-related careers in the military. Mrs. Smith, I didn't even know that. So again, it's another way of trying to help recruiting that doesn't cost us a dime,
right.
But yet it helps the recruiters, especially with the turnover that recruiters have. It helps us to support their mission.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know as well as I do, I mean, not only in the Army, but across the services, I mean, the recruiting mission is critically important for us. And, you know, again, we've got to sustain that all volunteer force. It's done well last several years, you know, since the 70s. And we want to maintain that. And as fewer and fewer individuals serve, every avenue that we can, you know, take to get the message out there so that people know that this is an honorable profession. You don't have to necessarily do it for, 20 or 30 years, right. You know, just give a little bit of time to your country, and, you know, in defense of our nation, and it's well worth the benefit in the end of the day.
Yeah, we have multiple generations that have not been educated as to the benefits of service to your country. And I'll go a step further, and it doesn't necessarily have to be service in uniform. I mean, that's nice. Not everybody can serve. Not everybody wants to do that, but right. Service to your community. It could be tutoring,
right.
Online tutoring, you know, an inner city kid in mathematics, right. Mm-hmm. But you're a math major. Great. That's your service back. You're giving something back. And I think somewhere along the line, we as adults have failed in articulating to young people not only the benefit, but quite frankly, the responsibility of giving back.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, every opportunity that we across the board, those that know the benefits of service and share those benefits, I think it helps our nation as a whole. So, you know, thank you for doing your part in that. And, you know, would ask, you know, our listeners also to continue to do their part as well, because it's critically important, you know, for our nation's survival. Yeah, as well.
Colonel, we talked about, you know, how do kids go, how do parents go. It's so important that veterans and even active duty, sir, you don't have to be recruited to come to our events. Again, mm-hmm. to be there, interact with folks. All they have to do is go to our website at ocsusa.org. If there's an event in their community, they can go there and they can register for it. If there's an issue with that, obviously they can contact me. But we need veterans, we need active duty people to sit next to these moms and dads and tell their stories. I've had veterans who have brought pictures, World War II Korean guys who have brought pictures to the little pictures and frames to the dinner because they wanted to tell the story of their buddies. That, again, is part of that ethos, it's part of that culture that we're trying to build up at these events so that, and again, besides that, we also have the USO and the Red Cross at these events so that the moms and dads, if they had to rely and needed one of those services, they would have a business card. They would have a contact locally in the event that they needed to draw upon those resources.
No, I know. And I know during the events as well, you probably emphasize, you know, when we're recognizing the future soldiers and future military individual, you know, they're not leaving your community. They're coming from your community, but in most cases, they're going to come back. So there is that linkage there, and you know, the support that the communities provide them before they leave is what we're looking for when they decide to transition out of service, because they all will eventually.
So if you don't mind, I will add a little caveat to that statement. I think, because I say this to business leaders all the time, who are always telling me, oh gosh, I want to hire veterans. I want to hire these kids that are motivated. I love hiring veterans. They, you know, they're more motivated. And my statement to them is, look, if these young people don't feel like anybody cared about them when they left your community, mm-hmm. they're not coming back. They're right. going to go to someone else's community. True. They're going to live around the base that they ETS from. So it's so important if you're a business leader to begin that conversation, let them know, give them your business card, let mm-hmm. them know that you want to hire veterans mm-hmm. and, you know, here's my business card, put it up on the refrigerator, because in about 14 months, you're going to be looking for it. I think it's critically important, again, for those business leaders and others who may be listening to this, if you want to hire a veteran, I mean, I almost thought at one point in time to recall our organization, Future Veterans of America, because that's what these kids are. You know, they're the future veterans of America. Don't wait until 2 months, 3 months, or 2 years after they get out. Start talking to them about what are those career opportunities that you have right now. We did a ceremony this past November in partnership with PayPals. and not just PayPal's corporation, but the Veteran Employee Resource Group at PayPal's. Mm-hmm. So it was the first of its kind. It was on their campus in San Jose, California,
right,
in which about 50 of their employees who were military veterans came to the luncheon and engaged with these young people about career opportunities at PayPal. I mean, the HR person was in, you know, employment heaven. I mean, that's exactly where you want to do is talk to these young people about before they go in. I think mm-hmm. that needs to occur much more regularly than it's going on right now.
No, great point. And like I said, you know, we don't stay forever. And eventually yep. that's why we do what we do as well, making sure that, you know, our soldiers, they transition well back into our civilian communities because, you know, they... Over time, the training that they've received, the pride that they have in service translates well when they go back to whatever community they go back to, and just making sure they're prepared for that. So I think organizations like yours and others out there, you know, help with that, that transition as well. So, first of all, you know, thank you so much, Ken. This has been a great, great discussion. And we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today about the programs, the resources, and the support that our Community Salutes offers to our future soldiers and their families.
Colonel, thank you for having me again on the podcast. And again, I've had the honor of working with so many Soldier for Life, great, great people, many of whom, as you know, are retired and still involved with OCS.
Right. Yep.
Over the years and still good friends. You guys, Soldier for Life performs an amazing and valuable service to our soldiers as they are transitioning out. So, and for us to help support that and for you guys to support us, we're all being one big family, and we appreciate everything you've done for us as well.
No, thanks again. And this has been a great podcast, and I'm glad you could be a part of it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We had an opportunity to hear from Dr. Ken Hartman from our Community Salutes and on all that they have to offer our future soldiers as they enter the military. For all of you all who are listening out there, there is a lot of support from our communities, for all of our brave individuals from the next generation who are choosing to serve their country as a member of the armed forces. Be sure to look for opportunities like this in your community to show your support for all of our future soldiers. And if you can't find anything in your community, how about leading the charge in your area to create an event like these to show how much you appreciate the individuals who have made the best choice in the world to pursue the opportunities offered by the U.S. Army. This is one more great way to show what it means to be a soldier for life. As always, thank you for listening to the Soldier for Life podcast. And be sure to follow or subscribe to the Soldier for Life podcast on your favorite podcast platform so that you don't miss a single episode. Until next time, this is Colonel Jared Thomas. Once a soldier, always a soldier for life.